half throated, as the kids say.
Ugh.
Yeah, as soon as I said it, I was like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds disgusting. Half throated.
I only get full throat. Am I right?
Am I right, folks? Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco. I'm here with my co-hosts Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Folks, how are we doing today? Mike, how's your day going?
My day is going pretty good. Working on Football Diehards draft kit. Almost done with that. Thank goodness. And then I was messing around with Hogwarts Legacy, which is a pretty fantastic game.
Sucks about J.K. Almost said J.K. Simmons. He's cool. Sucks about J.K. Rowling. J.K. Simmons is fine, but it sucks that J.K. Rowling sucks.
I'm pretty sure that the farmer's guy is.
seems I don't know. He said, he said some pretty problematic things on Oz, the show about jails.
He said some pretty problematic things in the movie Whiplash when he was.
Playing yeah, he did.
Walker, how's your day going?
It's been fine. I had a headache earlier, but I don't have a headache now. So,
whoa,
things are looking up.
News. I had to come home in the middle of the day because my wife thought she lost the cat. The cat was chilling somewhere in the house. So that was my day. So, although shout out to my boss, we had a barbecue today because we had a hellacious month and we still like got stuff done. We were like short a ton of people and he got me Beyond Burgers for the barbecue. I was thinking I was just going to eat sides. So shout out to my boss for accepting and accommodating my pescatarianism. So, all right. So what we're going to do today is we're actually finally, like, we've done a mock draft and, you know, we talked, we're going to dive into 2023. I think, folks, we're going to start talking about breakouts. So breakouts, the difference between a breakout and sleeper is always kind of, it's like, well, what's a breakout? What's a sleeper? To me, like a breakout, it's hard for it to be a rookie year player because they don't have an established level of performance in the league. They're brand new. And Walker actually, when they said, hey, this is what we should do, we're like, no rookies. Like right after that, I was like, breakouts, no rookies. It's like, hey, that's fair. I agree. So I came up with the, like, the three things, the three steps of productivity, which is like efficiency or skill, opportunity, or role, and then overall offense. So it's like, I think if two out of those three things take a step forward, then you're a breakout. If all three take a huge step forward, or we anticipate that, then you're a sleeper. Obviously, if it's like all of a sudden you're going to have huge opportunity, but keep the same efficiency, you could be a sleeper still. It's kind of like, you know, if one goes up enough, it can count as two. So that's kind of my idea about the difference. Do you, either of you, have any difference between like the most debated topic in fantasy sports, which is what is a sleeper and what is a breakout?
I would say that a sleeper is determined by ADP, whereas a breakout is determined by whether they've done anything in their career before.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So it's there. You're just kind of talking about different things. Breakout is more of a abstract concept, and a sleeper is more, in my opinion, an analytical concept where, say, you know, player A is wide receiver 50 consensus, but you have them wide receiver 30 in your projections. That would be a sleeper to me.
Actually, looking at one of my guys, I have one that matches that distinction perfectly. So I think that that's perfect. Mike, can a sleeper be a breakout? Can a breakout be a sleeper? Is this a rectangle square situation?
I think if you push hard enough, both of them can fit in the same circle.
Okay. Oh, but, boy, wrong shape.
But yeah, I agree with both of you. I think with a breakout, you definitely have to have a player that's done something, you know, that's performed on the field in some capacity where you're like, okay, he can show some life, some good things. If he hasn't shown anything, then he's still underneath a breakout. He hasn't done anything. That's why I think rookies are excluded, because they haven't done anything on the field yet.
Yeah, I think a good example last year was Mike, I promise I'm not rubbing this in your face, but Jalen Hurts was a breakout. He had done something in the league before. Right. He had an established level that we all knew, and then we took it to another level. And Mike famously hated him.
I did. I couldn't stand them. Now I love them. So
there you go. Perfect. So I think that that's a good breakdown of what's the difference between a sleeper and a breakout. And I think Walker actually hit the nail directly on the head. One is analyzing ADP. Another one is analyzing the player. And it makes a lot of sense. So what we've done is we have each chosen a player from each division that we think is going to be a breakout this year. And we're going in blind. It's less prep, and I think it's better radio. So it's a win-win. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to start with the AFC South. And I'm going to go ahead and start. And I'm going to immediately cede my time to Walker because I think we both have the same breakout.
My AFC South breakout player is Traylon.
No, AFC West.
Oh, you said AFC South.
Oh, I meant to say AFC West. Oh, God. Start the podcast over. Hello, everybody.
No. AFC West, I don't think we do have the same guy.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Then we'll start with Walker.
Okay. For AFC West, my guy is Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, wow. Same team. I thought you were going to go with E. James. So Majay Perine, that's who I was going to go. So let's talk Jerry Jeudy. So second year with Russell Wilson, first year with Sean Payton. You think that he'll finally put it all together to take a step forward?
Yeah, I mean, he played pretty well last season. He had over 900 receiving yards. He wasn't getting great passes from Russell Wilson, but near the end of the season, things started to get better. He started to get a lot more targets. He was putting up consistently solid fantasy lines, nothing spectacular. But I think with a better offensive mind coming in, I know Joe Lombardi's there, but he's more of a figurehead offensive coordinator than anything. It's going to be Sean Payton's offense like it was in New Orleans. So I think that Wilson will be in better hands this season. I don't know how good he can still be, but I think it'll be at least a little bit better than last year was. And I think Jeudy will continue to improve as a player. I expect this to be his first 1,000-yard receiving season, and I think he easily is a top 30 receiver and could definitely be a top 24 guy.
Okay. I mean, that's a good option. Mike, what do you think about Jerry Jeudy as a potential breakout this year? We were pro Cortland Sutton in the past, but now we're friendship ended with Cortland Sutton. Now Jerry Judy's our best friend.
Yeah, all the signs point to yes, but I don't know. He just hasn't gotten it done yet. So if it's going to be now, it's where it's going to be in ever. So, yeah, I definitely can. He has the talent to do it for sure. It's just whether it's going to be translate that to the field. We'll see.
Okay, and I'm actually going to pivot away from Samaje Perine because that was just going to be a bit where I just passed it off to Walker so I didn't have to do any work because my actual guy, Greg Nolcich.
Good God. This MF said Greg Nolcich.
Same team as Jerry Jeudy. Last year, he came in the middle of the year. He didn't play till week six. He came in and he was immediately like, oh, this is a guy that we can use basically every week. He fell off towards the end, but he did get 8 targets in 3 of his last 4 games. So he did get back into the fold in Denver. I forgot to say tight end. Greg Dulcich of Denver. And then when he was in, he was very highly used. He was 7th in air yards target share among tight ends last year, 3rd in ADOT, 3rd in overall deep targets to tight ends last year. And he didn't play till week 6. So they use him downfield. They use him a lot. And he's not blocking a lot. He has 84% route participation, which according to Player Profile is number 5 in the league, which means man's not blocking. It's essentially a Mike Gesicki situation where he's just hanging out. And with all of that, he had the 7th most unrealized air yards last year. So he's getting the ball a lot. He's not necessarily catching them all, but when he does catch them, he's catching them downfield, 12.5 yards per reception, 9th in the league. So it is Greg Dulcich. I think that he has a chance to become the guy for Sean Payton. We're all hoping basically that Sean Payton's going to fix the Denver offense, but I don't think any of us are going to want to have Russell Wilson, but I think I will like pieces of it. And I think that Greg Dulcich is a good piece of it. I think he'll take a step forward this year by basically just doing what he did in the second half, but with more consistency and all year long. So my AFC West guy is Greg Dulcich.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from there. I don't know how high I'll be on Dulcich compared to consensus. I don't really know where he's going right now. Last week, I think when we went over ADPs with Waleed, he was at like tight end 18 or something like that.
Tight end ADP was broken last week too. He was tight end 20.
Okay, yeah. So that's too low. I mean,
but he's... here, check this out though. Check this out though. On the because it's so low because they're dividing it by four because there's four sources and one of them just doesn't have ADP data for Greg Dulcich. But check this out. The three sites where he is getting drafted, ESPN, FFPC, and Best Balls are BB10s, 195, 127, and 139. So we're talking in two out of these three, it's a 12th round pick or later.
Yeah, so it's, you know, he's going around, yeah, 12th round, 13th round. So
yeah,
that's too late, I would say. Yeah. I mean, his ceiling is probably like tight end 7, but his floor probably, as long as he stays healthy, is probably around where he's being drafted right now. So, you know, he's a good dart throw because if he doesn't provide value, then oh well. And if he does, then you got a playable tight end most weeks with a low value pick.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mike, who is your AFC West breakout player?
Jeff, you're not going to like this. I'll tell you that right now. It's Kadarius Toney.
That's fine. I knew it was coming from somebody.
Well, you knew it wasn't going to be me.
That's true. All right, Mike, so wide receiver for the Chiefs, Kadarius Toney.
Basically, who's the Chiefs' number one wide receiver?
Travis Kelce.
Rashee Rice. Travis
Kelce, maybe, or Kadarius Toney. Oh, that's crazy. It flipped again.
sorry, my cat, I had my hand on my mouse. My cat somehow turned my video off. So I had to turn it back on. Oh boy.
So yeah, basically Juju Smith is no longer there. He's gone. He's in New England. I know a lot of it is he's a gadget guy and those kind of things, but he is an explosive weapon. Start, stop, quickness. You can hit him on deep routes. You can hit him on slants. He can run almost any kind of route. I don't know. I just think that he's another player that has shown greatness on the field, but hasn't done in a consistent way. And being the number one wide receiver on the team, here's his chance to do so. And if he can, then it'll be a breakout.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me with Kadarius, so there's two things about Kadarius Toney. He was overdrafted, which does sour my feelings on him a little bit. He was a first round pick, he really shouldn't have been. But it wasn't like he was supposed to be like a sixth or seventh round pick and he went in the first. He just went too early. So I think it soured me on the Kadarius Toney ADP. I'm sorry, the Kadarius Toney draft capital truthers who are like, well, he was drafted the first round, so they have a plan for him. He's going to be good. This dude was basically given away in the middle of the season last year to the Chiefs. So it's like, I don't feel too. I can see it. The thing that bugs me is people have been begging for Kadarius Toney to do something. And the last time we saw his athleticism on display with back-to-back plays in the Super Bowl. I think one was a kick return and then one was a long catch. So, the only thing that I worry about with Toney is his consistency. He's been incredibly inconsistent and inconsistently available. If he can put it all together and actually be there, I don't mind Toney. He's in a dynamic offense. He has, you know, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, one of the best play callers of all time. He has a full offseason to learn the system. It's just, is he going to be available? Is he not going to be a knucklehead like he was in New York at times? And if that's so, then I got no problem with Kadarius Toney. But from what I've seen, I don't know. I'm not super confident in that happening.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the bet at wide receiver 40 when I can take a bet on, like, Rashee Rice 30 receivers later, you know, who I also don't really think is that good. But, you know, I don't know. It's... I just don't think there's going to be a true number one weapon in that offense outside of Travis Kelce. You know, I think Kelsey's going to get a ton of targets and then everybody else is just kind of going to fill in somewhere. And there's not going to be a consistent, like, wide receiver one, quote unquote.
That's completely fair. So, all right, let's move on to the AFC South. And since Walker already spoiled their pick, let's talk about Treylon Burks.
Yeah. This is a who else are they throwing to scenario. I mean, it's Treylon and Chig, and that's it. Jeff gave me a look as he thought I was going to forget about Chig, but I did not.
Everybody want to talk like they got something to say.
But nothing comes out when they move their lips.
It's a bunch of gibberish because everybody out there, because this is not a Patreon episode, forgot about Dre.
That's right.
Dre is Chig.
They forgot about Chig. So, yeah, I mean, Treylon, he didn't show a ton last year. He showed that he is an NFL talent, but he didn't put it together super consistently. He was dealing with injuries. He was dealing with Malik Willis at times and Josh Dobbs at times. It was not really a fair scenario to evaluate him, I don't think. But the problem is that there is a reasonable chance he ends up in that same scenario again this year. If Ryan Tannehill stays healthy, then I think Burks is pretty easily a top 36 guy. And even if he's near the floor of that, you're getting value at where he's being drafted. But, you know, that's a serious question. But, you know, and it's been a question mark with Burks himself as well. But I think based on talent and based on the fact that he is the number one option in the passing game targets wise, I think that he's good enough and Tannehill's good enough to get him the ball enough that he can be a somewhat inefficient but solid wide receiver 3. And I think that would be considered a breakout, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's entirely fair. And I'm just going to piggyback off that. My boy Chig, tweet from Nick Pentecoff about Ryan Tannehill last year. Top 5 QBs in adjusted completion percentage while under pressure. Adjusted completion percentage gets rid of drops, spikes, throwaways and batted passes. So actual passes that have a chance, real passes. Ryan Tannehill was number one in the league. So the times that he actually threw the dang football in the red zone, he was number one. And the little video that goes along with it is him throwing a dart to Mr. Chigozie Okonkwo. Chig Okonkwo is a guy that I'm a big fan of. When he was on the field last year, he got targets, 33% target rate, which is beyond elite. First in yards per route run last year among tight ends. First in yards per target. They didn't use him a whole lot for most of the season, which explains these high numbers, these high rankings. Do I think that he's going to be first in yards per route run this year if he gets 75 targets? I do not. He had 46 targets last year, but down the stretch last year he had at least 4 targets in looks like 6 of 7 games, and he was averaging 3.5 and 40, so he's right below the threshold of what we're looking for. And like Walker said, who are they throwing to? It's like Chig and Treylon Burks are going to have a combined like 60% target share. Those two right there are going to have more than half the target. So if you can get me a tight end that has like 25, 26% target share, even in an offense that's not going to throw the ball that much, I will still take that because in the red zone, it's going to be Derrick Henry, who heard of him. And then it's going to be Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo. And so I think that once they get down there, that I think Chig Okonkwo is a good bet for, I mean, if I had to pick a guy going late who could get maybe 8 touchdowns, I think Chig's a good bet for that because they can't go anywhere else.
You heard it here first, folks. Chig Okonkwo, this year's Juwan Johnson.
Let's go. Actually, Juwan Johnson is a great comp for Chig Okonkwo, I think. What Juwan Johnson did last year. They're both above average tight ends, and it's a pure volume play. It's a lot about what I was hyping with Brandon Cooks 2 years ago.
Right.
And then let's not talk about last offseason.
Yeah, no reason to do that.
I went back all the 2022 offseason whenever they're like nobody talked about Brandon Cooks. It was wild. Not me, not Heath Cummings, nobody.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy. So, all right, Mike, since Walker and I bogarted the time, let's talk about who your AFC South breakout is.
My guy is Michael Pittman.
Interesting.
Someone's Richardson pilled.
He finished the season as a wide receiver 20, but that's with Matt Ryan, Sam Ellinger, Nick Foles, all at quarterback. And, you know, as bad as Gardner Minshew is, he's a lot better than any of those three guys. And then we have Anthony Richardson coming in playing sometime, whether it's week 1, week 4, but whatever the case may be, Anthony Richardson's better than Ryan, Ellinger, and Foles. So all I could see is this guy doing a lot better than wide receiver 20 and maybe cracking top 12 numbers. And if he can do that, then breakout season has begun.
I like that. I like the idea that they use Michael Pittman sort of like, you know, the guy he reminds me a lot of is like an Alshon Jeffrey, where he can just go up and get it from an Anthony Richardson deep ball or a medium length ball. You know, we're not talking like 35 air yards, but, you know, 15 to 20 air yards. I think that's a perfect place for Michael Pittman to be. That's where he was best in college. I think that's where he would be best in the pros.
Yep.
What do you think about that, Walker?
I don't think Michael Pittman is going to do a whole lot better than wide receiver 20, so I wouldn't consider him a breakout.
All right, Mike, do you want to kick Walker off the podcast?
Let's do it.
All right, no. Walker, you're out.
No.
All right, Mike, since you've gone last twice, we'll get your AFC East first. Of course, I time it perfectly telling Mike that as he's taking a drink of soda, so I'm going to continue. I'm going to let Mike swallow. Mike, who is your AFC East breakout player for this year season?
Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah.
But if you look at where he finished last year, he finished as an RB8 last year. So I'm like, is he really going to break out if he finishes an RB8 already? But I don't think he has that tag to him. I don't think if you ask 100 people, Family Feud style, if where Ramondre Stevenson finished, I don't think many people would guess that he finishes that RB8.
Yeah.
But he is a playmaker, three down guy, size, strength, skill, can carry that heavy workload. And Damon Harris is gone. So this looks tremendously to me like a breakout season from Ramondre Stevenson.
All right, I'll say it. Hold on. Let me get my idiot voice on. But what about James Robinson?
What about Ty Montgomery?
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it's Ty Mont season, folks. No, I think that's good. I like that. The only thing that gives me pause, and it's not that big of a pause, is if they are like, oh, man, we're in love with a different pass catching back, the stupid Bill Belichick thing. But honestly, if there's one back that deserves to get all the touches on this roster, it's Ramondre Stevenson. Like, James Robinson is fine. Pierre Strong is fine. Like, I like Pierre Strong, but he's not a guy that deserves like 40% snap share or something stupid like that. So,
right. Yeah, Ramondre is the best back on the roster. He's a complete back. I mean, they've got enough backup running backs that are all decent that they can take the stress off of him, and he doesn't need to have more than like 2/3 of the touches. But with 2/3 of the touches, he'll catch at least 50 passes. He'll probably run for double-digit touchdowns. He'll be around 1,000 yards rushing. So, you know, you're looking at a guy who's getting 1,400, 1,500 yards from scrimmage and double-digit touchdowns as a top-10 running back all day.
Yeah. I think people will see that Ramondre Stevenson finished top-10, like Mike said, and they'll assume that it's touchdowns. The man only had 6 touchdowns last year. He had 1,400 total yards, and he had 69 receptions. Nice. 69 receptions, dude. That is not what you think of when you think of Ramondre Stevenson, right? You don't think of him up there, but he was 4th in the league in catches last year. And I think that, you know, Bill Belichick, there's this whole Belichickanery thing where it's like, oh, he's going to rotate guys, do this, that, and the other. It's because his guys all are not that great. He wants a guy that can do everything. He wants to be able to just leave a guy on the field. You know why? Because he's a football nerd. Football nerds want three down backs. That's what they want. They don't want to, this is my first and second down back, you know, Theismic bulldozer, and this is my my third down scat back guy. No, they want one guy to be out there the whole time. And I'm really upset nobody even reacted to Theismic bulldozer. It's really frustrating.
Theismic bulldozer? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was off the top of my head. Thank you both for placating me.
I just got this picture of Saquon Barkley or AJ Dillon, you know.
Yeah, Theismic bulldozer. Let's go. Theismic bulldozer to the Patriots. And I think I'm going to get Madden now specifically to make create a player Theismic bulldozer next year. All right. Walker, who is your breakout player for the AFC East?
I have a feeling that I might be stealing it from you.
And that is?
My breakout player for the AFC East is Deontay Hardy.
Ooh, no, I left Deontay Hardy I have a different opinion. So.
Okay. Yeah.
But so I love Deontay Hardy. Deontay.
I seriously do believe he is the second best receiver on the Buffalo Bills in a, you know, a high powered offense. I think that he basically gives you 20% more than Isaiah McKenzie did in that role last year. And Isaiah McKenzie had boom games, but he also had huge bust games. I think that Hardy will be better and more consistent than that. I'm not saying that Hardy's going to be a top 36 receiver necessarily, but I think he can get pretty close, and he's currently basically free. So I think that, you know, he's a guy I think can break out into a really consistent role with the team, somebody that they value on offense that they didn't necessarily have to break the bank on.
Yeah, and it's not only Isaiah McKenzie, but it's also this, like, Khalil Shakir, this, like, sort of, like, smaller, kind of speedier guy. But I would like to show you both something very funny, and I had to stop myself from busting out laughing, and I'm going to make it the image for this episode. But I looked up Khalil Shakir because I wanted to double-check, because I thought he was a little less than 6 feet tall. This is the first picture when you look up Khalil Shakir on Google. My guy is struggling in the 40.
He looks like he's making this noise.
It looks like his face is melting. This is the Madame Tussauds wax sculpture of Khalil Shakir running the 40 under a freaking heat lamp.
Oh God.
All right. I just had to throw that. So everybody at home, that is the episode image. And I don't care if it's copyrighted. I'm doing it.
Thank you for indulging us in this is a audio medium of the week.
Yes. All right. So my guy for the AFC East, there is a player who has a new quarterback. And when his garbage poop from a butt quarterback last year was on the field, he had 6 targets, 4 catches, and 50 yards per game for 8.8 PPR points, scored no touchdowns. When his stupid garbage poop from a butt quarterback was not on the field, 17.3 PPR points per game on 11 targets, 6 receptions, 82 yards, and half a touchdown per game. And he has a little guy named Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football now. Ever heard of him? I'm talking about Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
This is when I said for Walker's definition of a sleeper versus a breakout is almost everybody seeing this in Garrett Wilson this year. He's wide receiver 11 off the board by ADP, but after being wide receiver 21 last year. But what I'm saying with this is I'm buying it. I'm going in because Garrett Wilson is awesome. Yes, I know Alan Lazard is there. Good for him. He also tried to get Randall Cobb over there. That doesn't mean Randall Cobb is going to get like a 30% target share. Garrett Wilson is the best wide receiver on the team. Aaron Rodgers will find the best wide receiver on the team and throw him the ball as much as humanly possible. It's an easy equation. It's not difficult. So I'm buying into this Garrett Wilson wide receiver 11 thing just because he's a damn good football player whose wide receiver 21 last year was because he was saddled with Zach Wilson for 9 games last season. In the 8 games where Zach Wilson was MILF hunting, he was a monster. He was 14 PPR points per game without touchdowns. So there's not much to say about it. It's Garrett Wilson. He's awesome.
No, I completely agree. I definitely went with a more under the radar guy, but I can agree with you on Wilson. I mean, he's really good. He's got a significant upgrade at quarterback. There's no reason why he shouldn't be top 12 this year.
Yeah, Mike, what do you think? Tell me I'm smart.
Yeah, you're smart.
Yes,
because I drafted Garrett Wilson first, and changed my mind to Ramondre Stevenson. So, yeah, you're totally smart.
Thank you, Mike. All right, so before let's go to the NFC North.
AFC North.
Nope, we're gonna skip the AFC North because I'm stupid. AFC North. It would be really weird the players we were talking about if they were in the NFC North because those are the wrong teams. So, Walker, let's start with you. Who's your AFC North breakout player?
I mean, I know this is kind of like an obvious one, and I'm not, you know. I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but I'm going to go with Rashad Bateman, receiver for the Ravens.
Horrible pick.
That's why, who I have, too.
Because you were going to pick him?
Yeah, that's who I had.
That's who I have, too.
Yeah.
Let's go.
The triple threat. Rashad Bateman, he's a pretty good player. Baltimore should throw the ball more this year. I trust him to stay healthy more than I trust Odell Beckham to stay healthy at this point in their careers. So I think overall he gets the second most targets on the team behind Mark Andrews in a higher volume passing offense. I think he'll score a fair few touchdowns because I think Baltimore will be able to score this year. I like I said, I don't think he's amazing, but he could sneak into like the back end of the top 24, and he's not being drafted particularly close to there. And he's not really done anything that would suggest that he should be there, but I think that the opportunity is there for him. We'll see if he can step through it. I think he will.
Yeah. And you know, we have to mention the new offensive coordinator with Todd Monken, which is a funny name. Sounds like somebody made a monkey species in a sci-fi and they're very lazy about naming him.
I think it is pronounced Monken too.
Monken.
With an N.
I think it is Monken, but my brain won't let me do that. Like, it feels like a bit to call him Monken.
Todd Monken.
But anyways, 4 years as OC, 3 in Tampa Bay, 1 in Cleveland. He finished 16th in passing attempts or more in all 3 years in Tampa Bay, which is huge because the problem with the Ravens is they didn't throw the dang football. And I know I pushed back a couple weeks ago on like, well, the Ravens have personnel to do one thing. They can't do another thing. I think I'm becoming monkey pilled. The more I think about it, the more that I like what he's going to do, especially because the thing that I realized was I looked at his credentials. I was like, oh, 2017 Tampa Bay, third in pass attempts, 2018 Tampa Bay, fourth in pass attempts. He was the architect of the, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, Buccaneers. And so it's like, oh, he's going to bring that to the Ravens. They have to pass more. So now I'm becoming monkey pilled. So I think I think Todd Monken, I think he will bring a lot to Rashad Bateman, who really in his first 2 years in the league, the problem is that he hasn't been able to be healthy. Like, he came into his rookie year injured. He missed time to start the year. He's only played 18 games in the last two seasons. But, you know, it's over those 18 games. It's like, you know, 13.1 yards per reception. Like, that's really good. 63% catch rate. That's okay. But when you factor in the yards per reception, that's pretty good. And it's just like but the problem is, he's only had 96 targets in two seasons. So it's like, yeah, this is a pretty obvious one because he came into the league super talented. We were all very excited for him. He's just fallen on his face because the offense wasn't built for a player for a receiver, basically. Marquise Brown, who, by the way, how much is he regretting demanding a trade out of Baltimore to Arizona of all places? He wanted out because they don't throw the ball enough. Now with Monken there, I think that, yeah, Rashad Bateman's a great choice. So that was, mine was built around the Todd Monken factor. So Walker, what's your case?
I presented my case. Shouldn't it be Mike's turn?
Oh, yeah, Walker started. I was thinking Mike started. Mike, what is your case?
I think you guys covered pretty well. I mean, last season he was on a pace for 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, and before he got injured. And the fact that you both brought up that I think Lamar Jackson's going to run less and throw more, and Bateman's the number one wide receiver on the team. So all that equates to someone who's done it is just needs to do it more and not get hurt. So, yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not like we haven't seen it from him yet. We just haven't seen it consistently yet. And, you know, if he stays healthy all year, I feel like 800 yards is his floor. Like, if he plays, we'll say 15 games, I feel like that's his floor. And you know, he could easily be a 1,000-yard receiver, which doesn't mean as much anymore with the 17th game. But we like round numbers. We're a base 10 society. So we like the nice round numbers of 1,000. So before we go to the NFC, I just want to review who we've talked about so far. So in the AFC West, we had Jerry Jeudy for Walker, Greg Dulcich for me. Mike took Kadarius Toney. AFC South, Mike took Michael Pittman. Walker took Treylon Burks. I took Chigakonkwo. AFC East, I took Garrett Wilson. Mike took Ramondre Stevenson. More and more folks are saying it. You're hearing it more and more. And Deonte Hardy was Walker's choice. For the AFC North, we all chose Rashad Bateman. That makes it real nice and easy. Let's move on to the NFC West. And which one of you two want to start with the National Football Conference West Division?
I'll let Mike start because I don't want to take his guy, and I might.
Well, my guy is a little tiny, and he plays for the Cardinals, and that's Rondale Moore. I think he's going to have a huge opportunity now that the Cardinals decided to release DeAndre Hopkins for I don't know what reason. And he was playing pretty well after missing the first 3 weeks of 2022. He was on a 17-game pace for 99 receptions and over 1,000 yards before injury took place in week 11. The big issue, of course, that I think that's going to hamper him is Kyler Murray. When is he going to come back? You know, right now, the backup, Colt McCoy, and then the rookie there. I don't know who's going to start, but that's not going to look good for a breakout season. But if maybe Colt McCoy can work with him a little bit. But there's really nobody there outside of Marquise Brown either. So I'm all in on Rondale Moore this year.
I contend there is somebody there. A little man by the name of Trey McBride.
But he's got elite Zach Ertz. Can he do
that? Zach Ertz is hurt right now. Zach Ertz tore his ACL. And if they're getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, they took Trey McBride in the second round last year. So, and down the stretch last year, he averaged, trying to see because they did this stupid thing in the last week against the Niners. I remember they played very stupidly. So after Zach Ertz went down, he was averaging 5 targets and 3 catches, 3.7 catches and 32 yards per game last year, which isn't too great, but it is a good amount of volume, especially when you consider that he went 4-3, 6-5, 4-10 targets. So he kind of ramped up as the season went along and they started to throw more, you know, when they figured out what they were going to do without Kyler, they went to Trey McBride more and more. So I also think that they drafted him with a purpose. Now, granted, it is a new team there. It is a new staff there. But they do come from Philadelphia, who they did trade Zach Ertz. Philadelphia did, but that staff did run 2 tight end sets fairly frequently. With Goddard and Ertz. So, you know, it could be Ertz and McBride is the new Goddard and Ertz. So I feel like he's a decent breakout candidate. But at the same time, Mike does make a great point. Well, what about Zach Ertz? I think Trey McBride can be a breakout candidate and still not be a guy that you should have on your roster. I think his breakout puts him firmly into the blob, somewhere in the tight end 15 range. But it's just one of those things where, you know, gut reaction, if you go off of like ADP or what have you, you think he's in the 20s. And I just think that he's going to take a step forward and be better than that. So I'm using Walker's definition of breakout to justify this. And speaking of Walker, what is Walker's idea of a breakout?
Mine's also Rondale Moore.
That's
why I didn't want to take it from Mike. I think that he's the pretty clear number 2 target in this offense behind Marquise Brown. And I think Arizona is going to be behind a lot. So I think even with poor quarterback play, he'll get enough volume and he'll get open often enough that he should be a consistently rosterable player and a guy who can definitely get into the top 36 receivers. I mean, we saw Greg Dortch produce fairly consistently in that offense last year. And while I know it's a new regime, it's still the same players, you know, and they get open the way they get open. So, I mean, I think Brown will be used outside. Moore will be used in the slot. Brown will get the most targets, but Moore can definitely hit triple digit targets in this offense. And I think especially in PPR leagues, he can be a value.
More like Greg Dork.
Yeah, that's right. You got him.
Can he say that?
Well, all right. He said it, so.
So, despite us all acknowledging that the Arizona Cardinals are a disaster who are could pick first next season, 2 Rondale Moores and a Trey McBride, huh?
Uh-huh.
This is what happens when the Seahawks, their best breakout candidate is a rookie. The 49ers don't have any breakout candidates, and the Rams don't have any breakout candidates.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, it's basically the team that doesn't have very much left. The guys that are left probably going to do better.
Yeah, it's the Jeremy Curley effect. When Jeremy Curley was on the Niners and had like 110 targets. Okay. NFC South. Mike, I will let you go first. Who is your NFC South breakout player?
This guy I really like, especially last year. We'll see how it transfers to this year with a new quarterback in Jordan Love. My guy is Christian Watson.
Mike did an audible and did the NFC North.
Oh, what did you say? NFC
South.
South. Okay. Never mind on Christian Watson. We're going to
breaking news. Christian Watson traded.
He got traded.
Wait.
Wow. He got traded for my new guy at the NFC South, and that's Rashad White.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I knew you guys would love that one. from weeks 10 through 17, White operated as the 1A in the Bucs backfield with Leonard Fournette. Fournette is now gone. The only guy there is Chase Edmonds, who's been a cast off on I don't know how many different teams now. I don't see Edmonds
doing
anything.
Sean Tucker, baby.
Oh, Sean Tucker. Was Sean Tucker even drafted?
No, but he's on the Buccaneers.
He might beat out Chase Edmonds.
He might.
He might beat out Rashad White.
Let's go.
White did finish as an RB35 last year, but I see much bigger things, especially being the lone back in that backfield.
All right, so I struggled with the NFC South. Like, I really struggled because I'm not picking a guy from the Panthers. I mean, I was considering Miles Sanders, but I was like, Miles Sanders is kind of high-end. I don't know if he's going to do more than he did in Philly last year. And I wasn't going to pick DJ Chark or any of those guys. And then I go to the Buccaneers, and I'm like, and I go to the Falcons, and I go, maybe Desmond Ridder. I'm not going to jump on the Kyle Pitts bandwagon. And then I go to the Saints, and I go, maybe I should look at the Buccaneers again. And my official person that's a breakout this year is, quote, Rashad White, even though he sucks. And it's for all the same reasons that Mike said. There's not a lot of competition there for volume. Walker's correct. Keyshawn Vaughn is there, but Keyshawn Vaughn is also very bad. And Rashad White's competition for targets is literally Sean Tucker, an undrafted free agent. Like, he is the best bet to take touches from Rashad White. And I think he will, but you're still looking at a guy that's going to get 250 touches this year. And if he gets 250 touches, I think that he'll be a good value in fantasy drafts. I think that he will put it all together and have a decent season. I'm talking like 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, maybe 40 catches. I mean, that's a good fantasy season. And I think that that would be a definite breakout for Rashad White. The only problem is when I look at Rashad White, I realize that he's not a very good football player. So my official one is Rashad White, even though he sucks. So Mike was cheering, and then Mike slowly stops cheering.
He's deflated.
He's deflated. But I agree with you, Mike, kind of. Technically, I agree with you.
The best kind of agreeing with you.
That's right. The best kind of agreements are the ones with caveats.
That's right.
Half-throated, as the kids say.
Ugh.
Yeah, as soon as I said it, I was like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds disgusting. Half-throated.
I only get full throat. Am I right?
Am I right, folks? All right, Walker, who is your guy as I write down that for the intro? 47:55.
I'm really good at making the intro quip.
It's true.
My guy is someone that I was afraid Jeff might take. And this is mostly because I do not believe in Michael Thomas's health. I'm going with Rashid Shaheed.
Oh.
I really think he's going to end up being the number two receiver in that offense and targets. Derek Carr likes to have a second guy he can throw the ball to consistently. I think Juwan Johnson is going to stay in his touchdown or bust role, and I don't trust Michael Thomas. So I think that Shaheed ends up being the guy. He was really productive in limited action last year. He started to ramp up more and more as the season went along. Was playing with a pretty risk-averse quarterback in Andy Dalton as well, so he wasn't getting thrown the ball down the field a whole lot. I think that Derek Carr will be more willing to utilize his speed. And I think he can be more than just a gadget player. You know, I think Rashid Shaheed is going to really put himself on the map this year.
I like it. That's a deep dive there, Rashid Shaheed. That is. To the point that I forgot that he was, one, a player in the NFC South, and two, a guy that I was excited about at times last year. Like, that's a deep dive. I completely forgot about Rashid Shaheed. So good pull, Walker. So with that good pull, I'm going to make Walker talk some more. And Walker, who's your NFC East? NFC East, everybody. I have to double check that we're all talking about the same division here. NFC East.
Okay.
NFC East.
Yeah, so I'm going to go, and I know that the new offensive coordinator doesn't use tight ends as much as the old one did. I get that. But I think that Cowboys tight end Jake Ferguson is in the best position of any of the tight ends in Dallas to take over the starting job vacated by Dalton Schultz. I do not think he will get the full role that Schultz had, but I think he is the best candidate to emulate what he did for this offense. And I certainly believe that he will be fairly consistently streamable, because this offense will need to throw the ball to someone in the red zone, and he is a big bodied athletic tight end. So I think that he could, you know, end up sneaking his way into like a borderline top 12 season. And based upon what he did last year, not much of anything. I don't think anybody's really expecting him to be particularly good. He's being drafted around like tight end 30 right now, so he's free. If you want to take him in the last round, maybe even see if he's available on waivers in your dynasty league or something, or if you can flip somebody a fourth round pick for him, because I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's the best of their tight ends, and he's already got a little bit of chemistry with Prescott. So, you know, there was a reason why they didn't want to pay Schultz big bucks, and I think it was because they thought they had an in-house options that could replace him.
I think that's a good thing there with, you know, they didn't replace, or they didn't pay Schultz because they figured they could just replace him with Ferguson. My only hesitancy and the reason why I am not going there is because of, again, the Brian Schottenheimer factor. Doesn't use tight ends. Mike McCarthy, not a big tight end user either. But at the same time, he could be the third best option on any given passing play. So it's possible that he does get the targets. I would also like to point out that from my screen, when Walker took a drink from their soda can, it looked like I handed it over, because I was making a hand gesture and it worked right over with Walker's drink. So
Triple Jam. Blake's Hard Cider.
This is a Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. The best one out there.
Dr. Pepper.
Hey, let's go. All right. Mike and I are from the SEC. Big Dr. Pepper heads over here.
Yeah.
All right. So my guy, he had a lot of up and down quarterback play last year. Not the most consistent option. Much like Kadarius Toney, we were all scratching our heads wondering why this guy was a first round pick. In the last five games of the year, after he came back from injury, after he started to be consistently used, Jahan Dotson averaged 7 targets, 4 receptions, and 69 yards per game last year. Nice. And he had 3 targets in 5 games. And I think that with Jacoby Brissett under center, it's not going to be any of the other Jamokes over there. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett. Get out of here with Sam Howell. Brissett's way better than him. That I think that Jahan Dotson has a chance to be sort of like I was trying to think of the best way to put the season that he could have on the entire way home, and I could not quite put my finger on it. I'm thinking like a baby
shark.
Baby shark. I kind of like how the Saints used Chris Olave last year, but not as much talent. Like, obviously, I don't think that all of a sudden Jahan Dotson's as good as Chris Olave, but that same sort of like, he's just used all over the place. He's used deep. He's going to have catch and runs in there. Jahan Dotson isn't the biggest guy, but that's where the league is going. These more dynamic, shifty, smaller, lighter receivers. And I think Jahan Dotson has a chance to feast this year. Because like I said, down the stretch last year when he was finally okay and playing more than 75% of snaps in every game, four catches, 69 yards. I mean, you'll take that all day out of your receiver. And he was good to start the year last year. Then he got hurt and it kind of wobbled away. But yeah, I think that Jahan Dotson, wobble, wobble. I think Jahan Dotson is a good breakout candidate for the NFC East this year. All right, Mike, are you going to make it three J's?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to go with the guy that's throwing Jahan Dotson the ball, and that's Jacoby Brissett.
Jake Brissett!
He was 12th in passing grade last year, according to PFF, 12th in big-time throw rate, 10th in passing grade from a clean pocket. And, you know, he has that solid supporting cast around him. McLaurin, Samuel, Dotson. As a guy who's a low-end quarterback, too, I think he's definitely primed for a big 2023 breakout.
Yeah, I think that in my two quarterback redraft leagues, I think he's probably going to be a pretty easy guy to get around quarterback like 20 as your second or even third quarterback in a draft. I think that people are sleeping on him, and I think you can just basically take him when you want in a two quarterback league.
Yep.
Yeah. Walker, what do you think of the Commanders offense?
Yeah, I mean, I said last week that I think there's quite a bit of value to be found there. I mean, I like Jahan Dotson. I thought about picking him for my breakout. Jacoby Brissett, I think, is a lot better than people think he is. Antonio Gibson, I think, is going to be a value where he's being drafted as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking in the right places, I mean, even Terry McLaurin is a little bit underpriced. I think any of those guys, you know, as long as you avoid the Brian Robinson trap, then I think you're looking pretty good if you're investing in the Commanders offense. None of these guys are going to be superstars, but they can all be solid contributors.
Yeah, check this out. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 23. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver 33. Antonio Gibson, running back 39. We forgot about Curtis Samuel, wide receiver 81. I think he'll beat that. Logan Thomas. Forget I said Logan Thomas. And then Jacoby Brissett doesn't even have an ADP.
Wow.
He doesn't even have an ADP. He's better than Sam Howell.
He is.
So
and even if Sam Howell starts the season as the starter, I think Brissett will end the season as the starter.
Yeah, I don't particularly worry about who's going to start the season as the starter. I think Jacoby Brissett will have more starts.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, you heard it here. Big Commanders offense fans here, I guess, all of a sudden. Except for Brian Robinson. He sucks.
He does suck.
He's bad. All right. So let's finish this up with the NFC North. And Walker, this is your division, so we will start with you. Who is breaking out from the Detroit Lions?
It's not a Detroit Lions player.
What?
I know, crazy. But there really isn't a great breakout candidate on the Lions.
Walker's
except
like,
for rookies.
We already here.
Now my breakout is a new NFC North player who did tear up the Lions last year, late in the season. It's Chicago Bears running back Deontay Foreman.
Ooh, okay.
Foreman hasn't really ever had a chance to be a team's lead back for a whole season. I believe that he will be the primary rushing option in Chicago. I believe he is a pretty good runner, and he will be the most consistent at churning out yards of the four running backs that they have, three of which they brought in this offseason. Khalil Herbert is solid. He is shiftier than Foreman, but neither him or Foreman are – Herbert's a better pass catcher, but not great, and Foreman doesn't really catch passes. But I think that he will run for a good yards per carry average, especially with the Fields to help take attention away from him. I think that he'll be given the ball a lot at the goal line. And I think Chicago's offense, while it won't be great, it'll be better than last year. So I think their running backs will have more opportunities to score touchdowns anyway. Yeah, I mean, I think Foreman can have like a LeGarrette Blount type season where he runs for like 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. And everybody kind of is like, wait, Deontay Foreman's running back 20.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate that. I definitely think that the Chicago Bears backfield is one where you can find value. Because nobody's quite sure who it's going to be. I know it's not going to be Roschon Johnson. That's the only, that's all I do know. I feel I'm a bit more in the Khalil Herbert, but I do understand that Deonta Foreman's a better runner than Khalil Herbert is. So, I think that that's a good choice. Mike, what are who's your? I already know who it is. I think I said the wrong division, or you heard the wrong division. I don't know, but let's talk about whoever this mystery player might be.
The mystery player is Christian Watson.
What?
Surprising. Oh my goodness. He was ranked first in yards per route, 2.78, through weeks 10 and 18, was the wide receiver 9 in total points and on per game basis in PPR. I think he'll take over that touchdown department from Alan Lazard because, you know, guess what? Surprisingly, Alan Lazard's not there anymore. It's going to be Jordan Love or bust for Christian Watson. But I think this will be the year, his second year will be even a better year. So let's go Christian Watson.
I think in the Jordan Love or bust contest, I think bust is going to win.
Walker answers my question, which was, how are we feeling about Jordan Love this year?
Yeah.
Not very good.
He looked good in one start.
Great.
Exactly.
I'd like to see it for more than one game before I'll upgrade any of their receiving options. I mean, if you really want to take a shot at Green Bay's passing attack because you're like, well, if Jordan Love's decent, then somebody from their passing attack is going to provide value, I'd prefer to just take a shot on Jaden Reed for free.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed was somebody who, before Walker said no rookies, I was like, I took a shot on Jaden Reed. And this, you know, they took him in the second round, a guy that they clearly like and they have a plan for, but no rookies.
What about Dobbs?
Dobbs, yeah, he's fine. I mean, I think he's kind of destined to be a wide receiver 3, where he's just kind of, he gets like 5 targets a game and catches 3 of them for 40 yards, and you're always like, oh yeah, he's gonna be like the best guy in your waiver wire forever.
Yeah, his
projection is like 7.6 every week.
I can't be a Romeo Dobbs fan because me slandering him last year ended up on Good Morning Football, so I kind of have to be anti Romeo Dobbs forever. all my homies hate Romeo Dobbs. I had real trouble with the NFC North because I'm like, I like players here, but I don't know who's actually going to break out. So, I'm going to say, Jared Goff.
Okay, sure.
Like Jared Goff, finally, we've seen Jared Goff when he has a good amount of weapons around him before. And I think that Jared Goff has his best wide receiver core since that wide receiver core with the Rams with Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks, and Cooper Kupp. Like, Amon Ross St. Brown is a great number one target. No, it's
Robert Woods, not Sammy Watkins.
Robert Woods, that's right. Sammy Watkins was bad for the Rams. He was there, but he wasn't part of the big three. I like Josh Reynolds. I like Marvin Jones coming back home. What's funny is I said, Walker, when we were trying to figure out destinations, like, what if Marvin Jones comes home? And I was thinking the Bengals, and that's what Walker said. Well, he went to a different home that he had along the way.
He did.
Yeah. Sun God. And then you throw in Sam LaPorta, you throw in Jahmyr Gibbs as a pass catching back, and David Montgomery as a guy who can also catch passes. I mean, Jared Goff has an outside chance of finishing top 7, top 8. And that's something we haven't seen from him in a few years. He's just a very proficient quarterback in a league in a place where people are really, really hyping up like a Brock Purdy. Like, I don't really see a lot of difference between him and Brock Purdy, except we know that he's going to start all season long.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Goff almost kind of already broke out last year.
That's fair. That's fine. Then fine, I'll take the free square and say Alexander Mattison once Dalvin Cook gets cut.
I was figuring that's what you were going to say anyway.
Oh, I mean, that kind of feels like the free square.
Well, I mean, I took the free square with Rashad Bateman, and so did both of you guys.
Fine, free square. Hold on. I'm going to do this on the fly. So the worst-kept secret in the NFL is that Dalvin Cook is going to go bye-bye. We don't know where he's going to go, but he's probably going to be cut very, very soon. It's after June 1st, so that man must be sweating bullets every time he drives to OTAs, being like, well, is this the day that I'm gone? And Alexander Mattison's career, when he has not had Dalvin Cook on the field, he has six games. In those six games, 20.4 PPR points on 36 receiving yards, as well as, excuse me, as well as 79.5 rushing yards. He was getting 4.5 targets per game and 19.5 rush attempts per game without Dalvin Cook on the field. So I'll take the free square, Alexander Mattison. I was trying to make it hard on myself and said Jared Goff, so I'll take the free square and go Alexander Mattison. Let's go.
I like Mattison.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Dalvin Cook to get cut because I have Alexander Mattison in a couple of dynasty leagues. I'm just going to trade him for like two firsts because people are going to be stupid about him, or a first and a second. Watch, it's going to happen. I'm very excited. So, all right. So let me run down the NFC real quick before we get on out of here. Nice, tight episode. Had some fun. Had some laughs. Jeff tried to make a case for Jared Goff and nobody wanted to hear it because it wasn't a case he really wanted to make. NFC West, Mike and Walker took Rondale Moore. Jeff also dipped into the powerhouse Arizona Cardinals and took Trey McBride. We took some Rashads. Mike and I took Rashad White in the NFC South. Walker took Rashid Shaheed, close enough. We took the Triple J's in the NFC East. Walker took Jake Ferguson, tight end for the Cowboys. I took Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, and Mike took Jacoby Brissett, quarterback from the Commanders. And then in the NFC North, Walker took Deonta Foreman, now on the Bears. I took Alexander Mattison, and Mike did not get the memo and did not take a running back and took wide receiver Christian Watson from the Green Bay Packers. So those are the breakouts for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. I want to do quick plugs. This is Football Absurdity Podcast, part of the Football Absurdity Network. It's a Discord. It's a Twitch channel. It's a podcast. It's a website. It's all kinds of stuff. So just check out the links in the descriptions. You can follow us on Twitter, websites at FBallAbsurdity. It's mostly when Waleed forgets to log into his own personal account and he uses FBallAbsurdity to like things. Walker is Big Daddy Dricks with an X. I'm Jeff Crisco, K-R-I-S-K-O. Mike is RFL Red Zone. Now that we've got that out of the way, any final words, final statements?
Yeah, we're on the road. We're starting the campaign. Jeff and friend of the show, Kev, are starting the campaign.
Drix2K.
Drix2K. We're getting me to 2,000 followers. Also, we're getting me into Scott Fishbowl.
That's right. It's all about Walker.
We're also Walker's getting Mike into Scott Fishbowl, if you're not in already.
Yeah. No, not in yet, but
all right.
It's alive.
Walker's plugs are, do things for me.
That's right. You get on it.
Get on it, you losers. What is it? Oh, it's move your ass. That's what on
yeah,
what
it's move your ass.
Patty Mo would always say. All right, so now that we're talking about other podcasts, I think it's time to go. So we'll be back in the Patreon feed next week, which you can check out at patreon.com/footballabsurdity. And I'm making executive decision. We're gonna do the partner episode to this. Busts.
Yes.
Oof.
Let's go. Let's talk some trash. And next week, we'll be saying a different word instead of trash because it's going to be on the Patreon. So, for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.